Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Hell with you.
He's good. Still got that bounce.
Woo. Oh, yeah, he's still good.
Yeah, he's...
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Fire!
All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. It's really Keyshawn and friends this morning. Alan Hahn joining Key. J. Will be back hopefully tomorrow. Hopefully he's feeling better.
Well.
We hope. We hope. At least say that.
No, J. Will, my man.
Okay.
Well, then
why'd you give a well?
Because Jay, man, just got back yesterday.
Right, but this is what happens when you got...
God!
Kids around, they're all over the place with all their kid germs.
I get it. I understand. He got a little something going on right now. Mm-hmm. I get it. But come on, man.
I'm not. Don't bring me into this.
Jay, know I'm going to be on his head for this.
Yeah, I think he does.
He tried to soften the blow texting me yesterday. Oh, man, just want to let you know. Really? I think I already know.
Well, you stuck with me today. Me and my Yankee socks that you apparently don't like.
No, it's not that I don't like them. I was just saying that
you as are, I walked out of the room, by the way, you're a bad teammate. If you're going to say it, you should have said it to me.
I wasn't.
Instead of, I walk out of the room for a minute, it's like, hey, you see what this guy's doing?
No.
What was that all about?
I said he's 49 years old, and yesterday he wore New York Knicks socks.
Well, who played yesterday?
And today he's wearing Yankee socks.
Correct.
And tomorrow you'll probably have on Jet socks.
No.
Why not?
I'll wait till – I can't even – where's the logo? There's a logo right there.
It's fine. It's just that you, a grown-ass man at 49, wearing sport apparel
very
on casual clothes, and you're not going to a game.
It's not sport apparel. It's socks.
If you were going to a game, I wouldn't have an issue with it. The fact that you are at work takes issue with it because now I'm wondering in my mind, well, what the hell does he sleep in? Are you walking around in...
First of all, I'm very uncomfortable with you wondering what I sleep in.
Not like that, but are you walking around...
What is
around,
it like
Are you
then?
Walking
what is
around
it like?
In Knick pajamas? Like, are you that dude that's like... You know what I'm saying?
Do I look like that dude?
Yes.
No!
Yes.
Right, no, you don't!
Yes.
No, but that's one thing like here. That. When you get home, it's another thing. That's all I was just wondering. That's all.
Okay. Yeah. No.
Or are you the guy with the big, thick wallet... That folds over three times. You got everything from
Costanza.
All the pictures to your insurance cards to 8 credit cards. And then on top of that, instead of having, you know, a few hundred dollars in your wallet, you probably got like 20 ones. It's like instead of having a $20 bill.
I learned not to have a lot of singles on me because that's when my wife then wonders, why do you have a lot of singles on you?
Well, it depends on what the singles look like. Yeah. If the singles are dirty and crumbly and that's
crisp.
Different. Hey, Chris, you just got them from the ATM of the bank or something.
You get a dollar bill from the ATM? What ATM do you get a dollar bill from?
Maybe I ain't been to the ATM in a while, dude.
Pretty clearly. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So, yes, okay, I had blue and orange socks on yesterday. Stance makes beautiful, comfortable socks. I have a whole bunch of them. I don't know, what different teams, I just put them on. I don't think about it. I just wear them because they're comfortable. Thanks for noticing. Anyways. The Knicks played yesterday. They lost
hold
to the
on,
Suns.
Hold on.
Their streak is over.
You said wore the Knicks socks yesterday because they played.
Yeah.
So you do think about it.
Well, I just said the Knicks played yesterday, didn't they? And I just left it at that.
Right, but then you're trying to tell us that you don't think about it. Those two things cannot be true. You did think about it. You thought about the Knicks were playing yesterday. You wore them. The Yankees are playing today. You wore those.
I thought I was wearing blue, so they have blue in them.
What day were doing the Islanders?
Yeah, the Islanders would play.
The socks are – look, man.
All right, you guys have fun with
wearing
me and my socks.
We know he's wearing Jets socks on Thursday for the draft.
Don't own Jets socks, so we'll leave that at
that. You will soon, don't worry.
I hope so.
You will soon.
I hope so. As long as they're comfortable, I'll wear them. I don't care at this point. They're socks, man. But anyways, can we talk about your Lakers that finally won a game with Anthony Davis, right?
Yes.
So we've got to figure this out as we're getting closer now to the end of the NBA season because the debate now is on about, okay, well, who are the real contenders? And everybody kind of agrees. Brooklyn, when they're healthy, seem like they would be the real contender.
At least.
Yeah, L.A., obviously with LeBron, when LeBron's 100%, yes. AD's 100%, those seem like the superpowers that are going head-to-head.
Yes.
But there's others, of course.
Always.
Now, I want you to react to this. Kendrick Perkins, friend of the show, was on Max Kellerman's show, and when he talked about really the best team in the West,
yes,
he didn't say it was the Jazz who have the best record. He didn't say it's the Suns who have the second best record. He didn't even say it was the Lakers who have two big stars.
Yes.
Here's who he says is the best team in the West.
my pick coming out of the Western Conference right now is the Los Angeles Clippers. Mm-hmm. I said this. Before they traded for Rondo, the only thing that the Clippers were missing was a floor general. And they got that.
Agreed.
They got Rajon Rondo, and they've been a completely different team.
Damn,
now.
Perk, that could be
and
their first round matchup. So you're saying the Lakers can get bounced in the first round?
Hey, listen, I'm telling you right now that the Los Angeles Clippers are the best team in the Western Conference, okay? They are the best team in the Western Conference.
Your thoughts?
They are certainly quietly getting there. I think adding Rondo, much like Perk was talking about, Jay Will actually talked about that a while ago, about they need not necessarily Rondo. We were thinking more Chris Paul at the time. They needed somebody that had a certain type of leadership, been there, done that, understands what it's like. Even though Kawhi's that guy who's won championships, his personality doesn't lend to taking that leadership role naturally. That's just not who Kawhi is. And then Paul George didn't have enough skins on the wall. And, his people kind of listen to him, and it goes one ear and out the other. That kind of situation. But now that they do have Rondo, it certainly says something as you head into the playoff Rondo-type mode. Now, to just put them out front in front of the Lakers, I wouldn't do that because with LeBron James, the whole game changes. The game of life changes. When he steps onto the floor inside that locker room, for whatever it is, the energy that he brings to the table and heightens the performance of others around him. Anthony Davis hasn't been able to do that since he's been without LeBron. He just kind of Anthony Davis, which is fine. But it only can take you so far.
Yeah.
So LeBron is extremely of importance to get him back healthy. Now, as far as we know, he is healthy. He's just chilling, as far as we know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say that. And then once they get in, I'm afraid that for whatever reason, they slip and wind up in the play-in tournament, and then lose because some injury happens or something weird happens. Now, all of a sudden, we on the outside looking in. That's the scary part for me.
It would take a major slip. All right. I mean, they still have they're clear by 2.5 games, three and a half games in from the 7-10. All right. So it would take a pretty serious slip for them to even be in the 7-10. But your matchups, though, is what you want to keep an eye on, because for them right now in the fifth seed, and they are now they're four back of the fourth seed of the Nuggets.
Bring them on. We're not worried about nobody when we're healthy.
Well, I mean, you should be.
Why?
Because, well, it would be the Denver Nuggets would be your matchup, the 4-5.
Yeah, but in a seven-game series, we're not worried about them, man. We're not worried about nobody in seven.
So you don't like the one-and-done 7-10 play-in thing because
anything can happen.
Yeah.
You know, Anthony Davis got kicked the other night in his calf, and I was like, oh, man, no. But it was the other leg. Yeah. It wasn't the actual leg that he had the Achilles on. Mm-hmm. So when he got kicked in that thing and started, pulling the Anthony – even last night
– Has he become that guy that you feel like it's almost like he's tissue paper? Like every time there's a little limp or a little wince, you go, oh, no. Like he's become that guy now, right?
Because he's our big gun. He's one of our big guns, and you never want to see a big gun wounded.
Well, he's not only the big gun – he's one of the big guns that tends to get hurt. That's my point. When he winces, you don't just go like, ah, he'll walk it up. You go, uh-oh, this could be another week now.
He's been hurt. So last night, I must admit to you, Alan, last night I'm watching the game. And this is when, I don't know who it was, but it was a young fella. He went to the cup and dunked or whatever. It was a great dunk. And Anthony Davis was holding his head, his eye. I was like,
I know the play you're talking
about. Man, this dude better not be hurt.
Yeah, was that Wendell Clark?
I think it was Wendell Clark Jr. Who dunked. Yeah. And I think when he dunked, it came down. Something came down, hit AD and I. If you had cameras in my house to watch my expression, you'd have been like, I was so mad. I'm like, man, and I probably said every curse word in the book. But he was okay. He was okay.
In the East, by the way, we don't have time to play it, but I'll just tell you, Charles Barkley believes that the Bucks are the team to beat.
Man, they just got run out the building the other day.
The Bucks are they lost to the Hawks without Trae Young,
yeah,
and they blew a lead in that game
yesterday.
And that's a team I have a hard time trusting. It doesn't mean I don't think they're good. I have a hard time trusting them.
They're a good team.
The Nets, the Sixers have been going through something right now, but they're still a very good team. The Nets, if they're healthy,
yeah, that's the problem. Is that you got an all-star team that knows how to play basketball.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Is I don't need to have 18 million shows with you to be on fire. Because I already know. It takes me a minute and I'm like, okay, we can shoot together. I'm not even worried about that. Yeah. And I feel the same way about the Brooklyn Nets.
Yep.
They don't need a whole damn season like everybody thinks. They can clunk along in the first round.
See, I agree with you.
They can clunk along in the first round.
Yep.
And be in sync with each other the second round.
They can mess around and use the first round as a warm-up.
Absolutely.
And everybody could go, whoa, that went six games. That doesn't look
absolutely.
And that means I'm with you. I do not buy this whole panic about the Nets and they're going to need time. They're going to need
professionals, man.
Just get ready.
They're professionals, though, that have won.
Yeah.
A lot of different stops. And even when you throw a Blake Griffin in the mix, and I know Blake Griffin is older and he's not jumping over Kia cars anymore. I get all that. But he still got some stuff for you.
He can give you 15.
He can still give you some stuff.
Yes, yes. And in limited minutes, you don't need the big minutes, but he can give you something. Their bench is good. Actually, very good. Their supporting cast is very good. No, the only thing you question is, can James get the hamstring right and not have it keep nagging him? Can Kevin stay healthy and Kyrie engage?
But is it really
nagging
him?
I am not worried.
But is it really
nagging
him?
Of course not. Well,
or is it just
– James wants to play.
It's sore right now. I'm going to let it rest some to get to where I need to go.
I think he wants to play, but I'm with you, though, on them. I do not feel like there's any panic at all, certainly with that team. We'll have more on that. Stephen A. had a real interesting take on the Nets, and we'll get to that coming up in the show. It's Keyshawn J. Will Zubin coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17, where, Key, it's no longer raining. So at least you could have rode your bike home, at least. If you could have just sucked it up in the rain this morning, it was barely
the
raining.
The road's
too.
Probably slick.
Yeah, I understand. Too difficult for you.
Yeah,
let's use up
that.
Some fossil fuels and get you home in 5 minutes. So what if this is an all-time NFL draft, just like 2004? Is there an Eli Manning in this draft who's going to have multiple Super Bowls and whatnot? We can go through it. We did this yesterday with a bad draft. How about this is maybe an all-time draft? We'll discuss next. KJZ on smart speakers everywhere. And all you got to do is say, play ESPN Radio.
Coming up this morning on KJZ. DeVonta Smith, Heisman Trophy winner and projected first-round draft pick.
Touchdown, Alabama.
DeVonta Smith with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. This morning at 9:10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN News.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
KJZ, ESPN Radio, Alan Hahn with Key. And yesterday we discussed with this draft about the quarterbacks at the very top, and we talked about the Cam Newton draft, the cover of SI. This is the anniversary of it, 10 years. It was Cam Newton, it was Jake Locker, it was Blaine Gabbert. It was the toughest question in football. It ended up being not such a tough question. Cam became MVP. So we were trying to decide in this draft who's the Cam and then who's, of course, the Locker and who's Gabbert. But we want to be, you know, let's also spin it positive. The 04 draft was a great quarterback draft. You had Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, and then, of course, you had J.P. Losman. So in this draft, do we have that? Do we have a Phillip Rivers, a guy with just a great career, just no rings? Ben Roethlisberger, just dominant career, still playing championship. Eli Manning, two rings, you know, in New York, icon. You know, is this draft maybe set up to be more like that one where we'll have, out of the five we're talking about, maybe three of them can turn into all-time greats?
You know, I'm going to say this, and you probably knew I was going to say it. All depends on where they go, right?
Yeah, it always does. I mean, but you're not wrong.
It just depends on where somebody goes. Mm-hmm. When I look at Trevor Lawrence, I think he's going to a pretty damn good football coach. But that coach was on the college level. It's different in the pros, no matter who you put on your staff that's coached in the pros. They're not the decision makers. You are. So I don't know when Urban Meyer, how long Urban Meyer stays at Jacksonville, who comes in after him. You don't know all of those sort of things.
Good point.
Daryl Bevel is your offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not, you know, we're not talking about the second coming of Andy Reid or Mike Shanahan here.
So would you say then there's a better chance at two with the Jets, like a Zach Wilson, or even with the Niners, obviously, because of that offense that one of those, because it's the same offense.
Here's what's going to happen.
Right? It's the same offense.
Here's what's going to happen to Zach Wilson, Allen. Zach Wilson is going to get pushed up for two things. If he has mild success, he's going to be on every billboard, up and down, midtown, and the whole deal.
Zach Mania,
headbands, hair down to his shoulders, the whole deal. They're going to boost him up.
Right.
And if he struggles, they're going to kilt him, K-I-L-T. They're going to go in on him. Because this is New York.
And to kill Joe Douglas is who they'll kill.
No, they'll hammer both, right? They're going to run both of them out of town.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as he is a playoff-type quarterback and get him somewhere 2-3 years from now and show progress, he could have that sort of Phillip Rivers-type career. Then when you start getting into the Justin Fields' of the world and the Trey Lance's of the world, they more are Ben Roethlisberger's situation. Ben Roethlisberger landed in a great situation in Pittsburgh, much like my prediction is one of these two between Trey Lance and Justin Fields goes to the 49ers. They land in a Ben Roethlisberger situation, but at a higher pick because Ben was lower, with a team that was Super Bowl ready, much like Ben Roethlisberger did early on in his career when Bill Cowher was there. He was able to take him and then move him into the next stages. And then Mike Tomlin eventually came, won their second Super Bowl, Ben's second Super Bowl. So when you start to look at that, you go, okay. Now, the Mac Jones guy, I think he falls lower than what most people think. At least I don't project him as a top 10 quarterback. He can land in a perfect situation in a perfect spot. What if the New England Patriots, with all the intel they get from Nick Saban, decides that Fields is gone, Lance is gone, Mac Jones is there, he's going to fall to us at 15. Maybe we move up a few spots to grab him, because if Mike Reese, who just joined us a minute ago, says that they may be closer to the old style of play opposed to what kind of we're seeing in the National Football League right now, they may be more inclined to lean back toward the Tom Brady, Matt Castles, the Drew Bledsoes, the things that's been in New England in the past. He fits that mold perfectly for them. And I remember, so funny, when my son was being recruited by Nick Saban, and Nick Saban in his office, we sat down and we had a candid conversation about the evolving quarterback situation in the SEC conference, about the style in which they played versus all the other teams in the SEC, Allen. And Nick was talking to me, and he goes, you know me, Key, I have a problem with the mobile running around, read option quarterbacks. But the problem is, it's not that I don't like them. I now have to install this type of skill set because I'm seeing it every single week in our conference, and I don't practice against it.
Yeah.
So they struggle for a while trying to defend that. But look, he's gone back to the big, strong pocket passer because that's what he's always had. He's always had the A.J. McCarrons, the McElroys. That's always been his M.O. You can go all the way back to Michigan State or LSU. That's always been his M.O. And he went back to it and won another championship. So my point is those type of guys all think the same. So you just never know what the New England Patriots might do, and Mac Jones could wind up in a perfect situation.
Right, and Mac Jones could end up being like the Eli or the Phillip Rivers. And I mean, Eli winning
exactly.
championships or Phillip Rivers just having a great career,
exactly.
Because of the situation that he landed in. And, of course, Trevor Lawrence at the very top of this draft, and there's just no doubt about him. But the doubt, of course, or the question is the coach and the situation in Jacksonville, how long will it take? But Dabo Swinney, you guys had him on earlier, I guess last week, and he talked about just how he feels, Trevor Lawrence, right now, ready for the NFL.
He's got thick skin, which will serve him well. He gets it. He understands, you know, all that's coming and all that stuff. And that's a hard thing for anybody. I don't care how prepared you are, but, you know, he's as equipped as you could possibly be to take this next step. And I think he's going to be incredibly successful. He's a winner. He's always been a winner, and I think that'll be the case at the next level as well.
And that's an important part of it, being a winner and then having that ability to now help a franchise figure out how to win. And remember what Mel Kiper said, we'll play it again for you, about what he projects of the quarterbacks in this draft and Trevor Lawrence having the best chance to get to a Super Bowl.
The reason why Urban Meyer took this job was knowing he had a quarterback that could be one of the great young quarterbacks in this league, a league loaded with superstars at that position. In order to win a Super Bowl, you got to have your own top guy. He's historic. He's just not really good. He's historically great. And when you get a Trevor Lawrence, you have to believe his career, when it's all over and said and done, will probably have a minimum of 2 to 3 Super Bowls that he at least plays in.
A minimum of 2 to 3 that he at least plays in. But if you were to say out of these 5 quarterbacks, Key, that we're talking about in this draft, who has the best chance to get to a Super Bowl first? Would it be Trevor Lawrence or would it be the other 4?
It would probably be to get to a Super Bowl first.
Mm-hmm. First now, not more, but first.
Whoever goes to San Francisco.
Really, yeah.
Whoever goes to San Francisco.
Doesn't matter who, huh? Doesn't matter who.
Doesn't matter who, because Kyle Shanahan, in my opinion, it's a really damn good football coach.
Yeah.
I mean, like a really, really, really good football coach. You see what he was working with last year? What did they win, 8, 9 games?
And
they were winning
that
with
defense banged
working
up.
With nothing.
Right.
They were working with nothing. And so when I look at that, I think he understands, and he's smart enough to understand, whether it's Mac Jones, Justin Fields, or Trey Lance, he can adjust to all their different skill sets, where some coaches don't think like that. They want everything to fit what they already do. They don't know how to make adjustments. And you think that they're really great football coaches because they win games.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, but you don't know how to make any adjustments with the talent that you have. And so you see that all the time. But I think Kyle Shanahan, if he's taking one of those 3 guys, that's because he knows that he can get the most out of whichever one he selects.
Right. It might not be what we agree on, but if he sees it, that's what matters. Because
yes.
This is what's going to fit what we want to do. And, of course, that remains the biggest question with this draft going forward. So we've talked so much about the number 3 pick and what Kyle Shanahan will do. So what does the man who literally wrote the book on the Shanahans say? Well, we'll get to that after SportsCenter.
Down to 5 to shoot. Paul still on the dribble. Crosses over in front of Bullock. Fires a 3. He got it straight away. Chris Paul back-to-back buzzer beaters at the shot clock. And he gets face-to-face with Devin Booker, rejoicing as the Suns take an 8-point lead with 13 seconds to go.
And that's how it sounded on Arizona Sports 98.7 FM as Chris Paul closed the deal for the Suns. Scored or assisted on 10 of the final 13 points in crunch time. It was a 5-point game in the final 5 minutes. But the Suns beat the Knicks last night, 118-110 at the Garden. It ended the Knicks' 9-game winning streak. It was tied for their third longest streak in a single season during the three-point era. The Lakers, they get their first win since Anthony Davis has returned to the lineup. They snapped a 3-game losing streak by defeating the Magic 114-103. L.A. enters today fifth in the Western Conference standings. AD at 18 points in 31 minutes. That's his most since returning to the court on Thursday. Falcons general manager Terry Fontenot says the Atlanta Falcons will listen to trade offers for Pro Bowl receiver Julio Jones. He's the Falcons' all-time leader in catches. That would be Julio, of course. Receiving yards, and his 60 touchdowns rank him second behind Roddy White. But he has a $23 million cap hit this season. That's the second highest among wide receivers. And he has fully guaranteed base salary of $15.3 million. Keep an eye on that after June 1st. SportsCenter, presented by Progressive Insurance. Join host Nate Burleson with guests Justin Fields, Najee Harris, Jamar Chase in the new Progressive YouTube series, Up All Night. Watch every episode exclusively on youtube.com/progressive.
Well, the countdown is on to the 2021 NFL Draft.
Join me, Elle Duncan, Kevin DeGonne. Full coverage of the first three rounds on ESPN Radio.
Coverage begins Thursday, 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, Alan Hahn in with Key, ESPN Radio. And we are joined by Kevin DeGonne right now, who will be hosting on Thursday night, NFL Draft on ESPN Radio. Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern is when it starts. Friday, also 6 p.m. Eastern, along with L. Duncan, Bart Scott, Mike Tannenbaum, Ian Fitzsimmons. You also know him as a SportsCenter host, of course. And first of all, Kevin, I will say that with Bart Scott and Mike Tannenbaum on the panel, it'll be an economy of words for you, I'm sure.
Well, first off, good morning, Al. Good morning, Key. Hey. And just a quick shout out to my boy, Zubin Mahenti. Wish him the best of health and on his recovery. And miss the guy. Love the guy. And Alan, you've been doing a great job filling in with the fellas. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun because I really believe that the draft is the best reality show on TV. And it happens in real time, as specifically the top 10. So I think the job of Elle and I will be to entertain, inform, but also allow the reaction because there's going to be plenty of that from Tannenbaum and Bart, as well as Ian Fitzsimmons, while they're layering stories and then basically saying, why did this team do this? And who made the biggest mistake, who made the biggest reach, and who hit a home run? Because I think you're going to get a lot of extreme reaction to that early on, because I think at 3, 4, 5, 6, we're going to have a ton of surprise.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those drafts, right, where there's so much intrigue, obviously a lot of buildup as well. So it's going to be exciting, especially that first night. Now, you had Adam Schefter on SportsCenter, and I want to get your reaction. He said this.
As of this weekend, the 49ers truly did not know who they were going to pick. And I know people say, well, how could that be? How can you give up that much to move up and not know who you're taking? I'll tell you exactly how. They moved up with the idea that they were entirely comfortable taking Mac Jones at that spot, but that they were going to do a deep dive into Trey Lance and Justin Fields and any other quarterback worth taking. And during the course of that research, I think that they've been more impressed than they thought they would be. And that decision now is much closer than people expected, to the point in my mind where it could go either way.
Now, we know, obviously, Shefty, well-connected, knows the Shanahan family well as well. So after you spoke to him, where do you now think the Niners might go with that third pick?
I think it's interesting, right? They're locked in on Mac Jones. At least it feels like the head coach is in Shanahan. He's comfortable. He knows what he's going to get. And then this is a boom or bust situation, because the biggest wild card in this draft, especially in the top 10 when you're talking about quarterbacks, is Trey Lance. 20 years old, when you look at his size, you look at his track record, what he did in 2019, with 28 touchdowns, 14 on the ground, and no picks. It's just he's played, what, 17 games? So there is that boom or bust. You can have such a high ceiling. What you're going to get with Mac Jones is stability. You know what you're going to get. But if you trade 3 first-round picks and you feel like you're on the cusp, and this has this vibe, this entire vibe of
Alex Smith in Kansas City with the Chiefs. He has stability. They have a team built in, and you can have Mahomes learn while Alex Smith basically is the bridge to the future. And no one is better with quarterbacks than Andy Reid. You can make a case that Kyle Shanahan has a phenomenal relationship with his quarterbacks. I think Shanahan sees, I need to take it to the next level and stay there. And maybe I need a quarterback that could be on the move. And that's why I think the intrigue starts at 3. Because if the Niners, let's just say, surprise many and go with Trey Lance at 3, then I think you're going to see multiple teams, like the conversation that the Patriots have, jumping into the top 10 to see if they could land Mac Jones.
I don't know if the Patriots should move up from 15 into the top 10 to get Mac Jones, because I just don't see him like that. But that's just my eye, so we'll see.
That has been everybody's reaction. Kevin, that has been everybody's reaction. It's amazing. We have talked to how many different insiders that we have at ESPN, and every time we say, are they really – is Mac Jones really going to be taken that high? Everybody has that uncomfortable feeling like, that's what I'm hearing. But, you know, you heard Keith say it, that he doesn't believe it.
Yeah, Kevin, in terms of believing things, we all know that your fly, Eagle flies. Mm-hmm. The Philadelphia Eagles are selecting at 12. What is the best-case scenario for the Eagles screwing it up?
Oh, yeah, exactly. I'm glad you added that at the end. The best-case scenario for any Eagles fan is to let the football guys, the scouts, actually make the decision, because that has not been the storyline the last couple of years, and it's been well-documented that, you know, when you have the owner involvement and the GM is deciding these picks with the influence of the owner, you could sometimes make mistakes. And last year, I think the big mistake was Rager. Listen, Rager could be a fine talent, but when you're taken before Justin Jefferson and Rager's value is potentially in the second round and you're picking him in the first round, you've got to hit, right? You've got to hit on the first round picks. So at 12 specifically, they've got a ton of needs. If they can get Surtain, phenomenal. If they can get Slater out of Northwestern, because they need an offensive lineman there, I think they need depth, fantastic. If you can get Jaylen Waddle there and finally hit on a wide receiver, because they have swung for the fences the last couple of years and they have missed badly. I think if you look at those three options, those are all wins. And, you know, the other guy that I love when it comes to attitude and how he plays up front with the press coverage is J.C. Horn. If he's there at 12, you grab him, because you need somebody on the other side paired with Darius Slay, especially in a division like, you know, Key, with the Cowboys, where they're going to throw it and they can open things up. They need to secure this specific position at cornerback long-term on the other side of Slay.
I learned a long time ago, Kevin, that one of my former bosses, head coaches, told me if I ever took a job in the NFL, don't take one where an owner's involved and you'll be just fine. And that's pretty true. So when you look at Howie Roseman, he says that last week that he's going to stick to the board. How does that make you feel?
I don't know. I'll believe it when I see it, Key. I think you could say all these things. You could make all these comments. Really, the proof is in the pudding. And when we see who's drafted at the time at 12, or, you know, there could be a scenario where they're sliding back a little bit further down to get somebody. I've just said this repeatedly about the Eagles. I don't care how, you know, people are like, oh, they got a potential first-round pick, you know, in a couple years with Carson Wentz. I said, it doesn't matter how many assets you collect. You can have so many assets that you could flaunt it all around. But in the end, you need quality over the quantity. And they have not gotten quality out of any of these draft picks over the last few years. If you go back, and I'm sure you guys have seen this stat, like, if you go back to 2014, you know, they've drafted one Pro Bowler. And you know who that is? The guy they traded this offseason in Carson Wentz. And when you cannot draft and you are spending all this money on the cap trying to win in these windows, it's gonna haunt you. And right now they're in cap hell. They're going to be in cap hell in 2021. And they need to find a way to protect and help Jalen Hurts.
Kevin, preparing for the draft, I've mentioned this week, feels like you're back in college cramming for finals, right? There's just so many rounds, so much information. You are hosting it. With that crew, I imagine that's what you're going through right now, yes?
Alan, I woke up this morning, obviously, to get my body right for Get Up, because Elle and I are doing Get Up on Thursday morning and then the draft on Thursday night, as well as the flip over to Friday morning get up, and then Friday night the draft on ESPN Radio. And I forced myself to get up at 5:15. Now, 7 years of doing the morning sports center in my career has prepared me, and three kids have prepared me. But still, that 5:15 wake-up call is a butt kicker, especially when you've been sleeping in. And the first thing I did was downstairs. I went back to my college days, pulled out the binder and the highlighter, and I'm going through a bunch of research. And honestly, I love it because since I was 12 years old, I've been a draft nerd. So to me, I'm like a pig in his own slop. I love everything about this.
Yeah, you haven't done the NFL draft myself with Mel Kiper in the gang. I would say this, no matter how much you study, how many notes you have, how many highlighter pens you use, there's going to be one guy who sleeps somewhere that you know nothing about, who get drafted, and you'll turn to L and him and say, who?
Yeah.
What? Where did he come from?
Key, you're right. Yeah, and I have that fear because I've got a certain list where I stop and I'm like, all right, let's just add five more. Let's just add five more. And that's where I've been this entire weekend leading into this draft. Like, all right, let me just do a little bit more because I do not want to get burned. And then you look up, let me get this guy's pronunciation because I don't want to get burned. And honestly, it's you're cramming in 700 pages for literally three pages, three nights, right?
Yep. Hey, that's what it's about. But you know what? You're built for it, Kevin. We look forward to you on the coverage and, of course, on Get Up as well. Thanks for joining us.
Alan Key, I appreciate it, guys. Stay healthy, stay safe.
All right, you got it. Again, that's Kevin Negandhi on the Goodyear Hotline, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. I want to remind you again, the NFL Draft will be on ESPN Radio. 3 days of picks, analysis, thorough breakdowns of your team, and favorite players all in one place. You have Kevin Negandhi, you have L. Duncan, Bart Scott, of course, Mike Tannenbaum, many more. Starting this Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern through Saturday, May 1st, the NFL Draft on ESPN Radio. Coming up, so one quarterback from the 2018 draft has already seen ghosts. Is another one now seeing aliens? Ooh, that's after Key has this from Goodyear.
Goodyear knows when the season starts heating up, so do the possibilities. Playoff hopefuls are beginning to emerge and contenders are solidifying their position. From here on out, every game is a chance to create momentum, to make the right pass, the right move, to hit the perfect shot. Oh, that feels good. It takes momentum to build up to the moment, but it takes everything to capture it. Goodyear, more driven.
Hey, it's Greening and Tuesday. We will be T-minus 2 days and counting to the draft. I'm getting set to head to Cleveland, and I'll give you everything you need to know before round one rolls around. See you then. Greening, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN+. Plus.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
From A to Z.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us in the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn here with Key today. J. Will out today. He'll join us again tomorrow, I'm sure. Hopefully he feels better. Let's do some A to Z, Key.
Oh, so he's with us tomorrow. Okay.
I would expect him to be back. He only gets one day. So, all right, let's get to it. A to Z. So, the Packers GM, Brian Gutekunst, said that Aaron Rodgers is our guy, right? He's our guy. Like, listen to the way he says it, though.
Aaron's our guy. He's going to be our quarterback for the foreseeable future. We're excited about, you know, kind of the things we're going to try to accomplish here over the next couple of years. We're not done yet. We've done a lot to get here. We've kind of been doing things as we go, and we will continue to do that as we go.
So Aaron Rodgers is getting an extension.
Yeah, well, he has no more guaranteed money left, as you know, on that extension that he has. It runs through 2023. He said foreseeable future and next couple of years. Well, next couple of years would take you to the end of 2023. So what's there to work out?
Well, so let me – he has no more –
Not only do they want to give him more years.
Well, he's going to get more years and more money. He's not playing for $15-plus million this year on his salary. He's not doing that. Mm-hmm. I can almost guarantee – you know how you take – things from other people when they say factual?
Yes.
Take it from me. He's not playing for that less than $20 million
right.
That's on the table. And when you say no guaranteed money, he's a veteran. He's a veteran player. So his guaranteed money kicks in as soon as the league year starts and they kick off. His money's guaranteed at that point.
Can I make this a story that I'm done with? Like, you know, people say, I'm done with this. Like, I'm done with this. Like, let me know when it's done. Like, I don't want to keep hearing about this. This is the third time you say the same thing over and over again. Let me know when you work it out. Otherwise, let's move on. Here's an interesting story. So you remember when Baker Mayfield tweeted about how he was almost 100% that he and his wife just saw a UFO drop straight out of the sky on their way home from dinner? This is in Ohio. Well, apparently, the Pentagon confirmed that there was this UFO video that was real, and it was taken by a Navy pilot. It was a pyramid-shaped object seen flying through the sky, confirmed by the Pentagon as an unidentified aerial phenomena. And here's Baker letting us know what he saw was real.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch. It's real. I saw it. I'm glad the Navy finally confirmed some more pictures. Now everybody doesn't think I'm as crazy. I believe.
There are some things that you might see and maybe even believe and just better to keep to yourself. So Key, Marcus Spears, our good friend, as we were just talking to Kevin Nagandi, he was talking to Kevin about this on SportsCenter. And Marcus Spears had a very interesting take about Baker and the UFO that he saw.
Rich people problems, okay? In the hood, you don't see UFOs. You're too worried about trying to make sure you pay your rent and get food put on the table and keep the lights on. There's no time to see UFOs. Baker Mayfield is describing rich people. Seeing UFOs and Sasquatch, I didn't think about that one damn time growing up. I ain't thought about it as an adult because I've been hustling trying to make sure that I'm in a good situation for my family. When you rich, you have time to look for these things, think about these things, and also when you rich, you live in neighborhoods where you can see all of the solar system. That is the problem that Baker Mayfield has. It ain't no damn UFO. It was all of the stars shining because you got all of that money and all of that space, and you could see the solar system in its true form. Just like when people go to Alaska and they see the northern lights, they think something is happening. People in Alaska don't give a damn about the northern lights. They see them every day. But when you come from broke and you go to rich, you see things a little differently. I hate that I had to go on a rant about this. I really didn't like the question because it's rich people problems. Now, I will tell y'all this. Because of what I've had the ability to do in playing in the league and working for ESPN, I'm going to sit in my damn backyard tonight and hopefully see a UFO because I got enough space to see the stars.
Key, have you ever seen a UFO?
No, I've never seen a UFO, and I don't think I'll ever see a UFO.
Even if you saw something, would it like, would you stare at it? Would you wonder what it is?
But I'm not seeing a UFO, man. It's not happening. That's unrealistic. But I'm not getting
Baker said it's very real. It's very real what he saw.
Sometimes people might have consumed some things that will make them see things that they shouldn't see.
I see.
Yeah, you know, sometimes in people's lives, they may have had too much wine or, you know, other things in life. They sit outside their backyard and they look at the sky and they think they saw something that they didn't see. And for
it, what do you think of what Spears said about it, this being a rich people problem?
I don't think it's a rich people problem. I think it's just somebody saying something that, you know, again.
There are people that believe, though, in this supernatural.
I'm sure there's a lot of people that believe in a lot of weird stuff. Think about it. Just think about it for a minute.
But even the Navy, even the government has said, yes,
they
yes,
saw
there
something.
There was something in
something
the sky
in
that
the sky
night.
That night, it was a light. We don't know exactly what it was.
So you firmly believe that we are the only living creatures in the universe?
No other world. All I know is where I'm at, right? On this planet.
Well, that is so
you.
That is so you.
Anything about anywhere or anything about any other place other than where we're at.
Not even curious.
No. Why would I want to see a dude with a third eye?
Well, how do you know he's got a third eye?
Because that's usually aliens and all that weird stuff. They have third eyes. And
how do you know if you've never seen one?
That's what I mean.
Because
I could be one.
I've never seen one.
I could be one.
No, you could be one. But based on what you look like, your flesh, how you walk, how you talk, I'm okay with that. You look human to me. Look human.
So that's the thing. So we could take any form we want. We take human form, you're cool with it. Don't matter if you're an alien. Don't matter what planet you're from.
I might be an alien. I don't know. But you don't have a third eyeball. I'm okay.
All you care about is as long as you get us to break on time and set me up for questions, you could be from any planet. Doesn't matter.
Damn aliens, man. Y'all people, boy. Y'all
I'm going to get on my spaceship.
Y'all, man.
And we're going to discuss the KJZ mock draft with the Jets on the clock for the second time. That's next. ESPN Radio.
Ain't no black
ESPN News on TV.
Said he saw no aliens.